time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Monday morning, August 6, 2018. The Lord ain't making another one. Welcome to Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live, the huddle, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for joining us, man. Big breaking news. There has been a jailbreak. Yes, my friends, one of the largest jailbreaks in history. After 30 days of hard labor, solitary confinement, bread and water, the coach is back on Facebook. In fact, I look over here, it looks like we're streaming live today. So all those people out there have been wondering where Coach has been for the last 30 days. I've been in jail. I'm out of jail. How about that? We'll see how long that thing is up. Although I promise I got my mind right. Shaking the bushes over here, boss. I don't know how many of you ever saw Cool Hand Luke, one of my all-time favorite movies. There's just so many great things about that. Well, that's me. I'm over shaking the bushes over here, boss. Now, hey, listen, every one of you, including those of you who are in the huddle, here's what I need you to do for me today. Let me go here first. I saw a report this weekend regarding Facebook, which is where most of us are. A lot of us finds a lot of our information. And, you know, Facebook used all their algorithms and all that stuff. They did some research and trying to find out who's on Facebook. Who is watching on Facebook? This is why we know that Facebook is not the medium of the future. It's not. It's not the social medium of the future. It isn't. The average, according to their profile, okay, Facebook's own profile, the average Facebook user is a 35-year-old woman. Now, we know it isn't all women, and they're not all 35. But if you were to take a profile and you say, who's on Facebook? It would be 35-year-old women. That's who it would be. So the young people, they're not there anymore. They're at work. They're at Twitter or Tweeter or they moved on. They moved on. Evidently, Facebook is too slow for them. It's too fast for me, to be honest with you. So here's the good news. Facebook has become what? It's a rest home for guys like us. It's where we can go. So we're taking over Facebook. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. If you're watching the show, listening to the show, in the queue, whatever, do me a favor. Go to one of my Facebook posts and like it. It'd be even better if you just commented or just give a thumbs up or something like that, because that has something to do with their analytics and it resets all their algorithms and all that. Because I'm telling you, for the last 30 days, when I would click at Facebook, it would be like it was the same stuff over and over and over and over. It's like my entire page went dead because I couldn't post. So if you're out there even right now, go to my Facebook page and edit, I don't care which one of them, find one of the comments and just give a thumbs up or do something like that and get our algorithms going a little, whatever. I don't even know how that works, but I know that it really, really is important. So I'm out of jail. Now I can reach all those 35-year-old women I've been trying to reach my whole life. Just kidding, sweetheart. Just kidding. Not trying to do that. But I think that's kind of cool, isn't it? That really, that's where we are. We think we are hip and up on everything because we're on Facebook. And the young kids, they're so far beyond that. Snapchat and Twitter. And Jared, you probably know what they all are. I don't know what they all are.
Hey, so, there is a silver lining to that cloud, and not for Facebook, but for us.
What's that?
That is that we really don't have a whole lot of time to educate folks about some of the really, really ills of our country, especially the imminent ones, the ones that are coming on us real quick. But because Facebook demographics are the way they are, we have a much better chance of making contact with the people that already think a little bit like us, that are already a little bit awake And it's a perfect venue for that.
I'm with you, man. We own Facebook. Evidently, with the older folks, we own Facebook. So let's understand that. Let's use it appropriately as a means to transmit and get the information out. I can't tell you. I go to a wedding this weekend, and I had probably three people, which you say, well, that's not a lot. I think it's a lot. Three people come up to me and say, yeah, I love your show. What's your show? Now, this isn't even in my hometown, right? This is in the big city. And I said, you watch my show? I said, oh, every morning. So, guys, this stuff is important, not because of popularity. This kind of stuff is important because it's a vehicle. It's a vehicle that we have in order to be able to reach others. And so we can't laugh about it. We can't besmirch it. It is what it is. Facebook. Okay. So look, I don't want to get bogged down on that. But go there, like, make a comment on one of the things that I posted this morning so that, it's like you're breathing life back into it, breathing life back into our Facebook page where a lot of people find us. And for those of you who are watching on Facebook or are used to watching it on Facebook, go to CoachDaveLive.com. The next time we get shut down, that's where you're going to find it. We will always be there. We'll always be at CoachDaveLive.com. So go there and to CoachDaveLive.com. Make yourself more familiar with that. But know that right now we are, again, back up on Facebook. Hey, Chad, how things go down there at your big, the Chad-O-Rama down there in Temple, Texas this weekend? Give us a full report. I assume Chad was in there. I thought he was. Give us a full report, Chad.
Well, I was encouraged. We had, another spectacular, fun-filled, festive fellowship weekend. We learned a lot of different things. And, you know, it's just, golly, it's just, I just don't have enough words for it. But I am encouraged also by we're having more and more people come and attend. And there are new people also. So we had two new couples. Plus, what was great about it, they have small children. So we're able to also influence the youth as well. And Todd brought his son, teenage son. And so, look, that's the campaign. We're not just in it for ourselves. We're in it for the youth. That's what the dark side is doing. We need to continue to try to reach the youth and stuff. And so I thought it went well. It was awesome. I don't know. I couldn't put enough adjectives on it. But I was really encouraged by it, and you know, we're looking forward to the next one. We're having a huge event there in the middle of September, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. So please encourage everyone to come and attend.
Yeah, well, I'm planning on that. Michelle and I are planning on being there. And again, folks, listen, this is not about me and an organization under me. Chad is building a network of people right in the Texas area. That if something happens or if something doesn't happen, at least it's like-minded people getting together and doing fellowship. Now, we're going to do that up at Rob Pugh's in October, I think it is. Rob, don't hit me on the head if I'm wrong. And we're going up there in October. I'm working on one out in the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area. I got to give her a call back today, try to firm one up there. We're going around and we're trying to put on these little huddles just to help you find people who are like-minded in your areas. And I don't care whether you associate with the Salt and Life Brigade. People are so into joining and belonging, and I'm part of this group, and I'm not part of this group. I just want to connect together like-minded people because I think ultimately we see that we're losing on our side because the other side is connected. They are connected. So if you want us to you want me to come and help you do a huddle wherever you are, we're going to go to Oklahoma and do one out with George. We got plans. I said Rob, she's got the big one going on. If you want one to do just get a hold of me. You say, well, Coach, I don't know. I can't get a whole lot of people. Well, you find a venue and we find a date and we'll help drive people to it because there are a lot of people in your area, not a lot, but there are people in your area who are watching the show that we're not even aware of. So kudos to you, Chad. Chad has been the man in regards to the Salt and Light Brigade, getting people together, and tip our hat to you, Chad. Rob, I see you. Go ahead, Larry. Rob, I see you're in here this morning. I don't know if you can talk, Rob, because I know it's 6:10 in the morning, but if you get a chance, maybe you can weigh in. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, can I take 1.5 minutes here for an unabashed commercial?
Sure.
you know, Chad is doing a great job in Texas, and a lot of my folks that have signed up for STAB in Texas know about, and some of them are part of Chad's Salt and Light Brigade down there. But I just want to, you know, take a quick minute to say, we all know, I think everybody in this queue and everybody listening to me understands that political problems of any kind are not going to be solved by Congress on their own. All they manage to do is make problems worse on their own. But the tough issues, Medicare, the Social Security, the influx and the threat that Islam presents to our very way of life, those tough issues, they will never touch them on their own. It's going to take the public opinion of we the people to force them to the table to do their job. And I keep looking all the time. As far as I know, STAB is the only organization out there that is focused on that fact. That's our sole purpose, is to create enough conversations and public opinion to force them to the table. Therefore, in my mind, now, I hope I don't have anybody that disagrees with this out there, but in my mind, if STAB is not successful, our country goes down the tubes under the heel of Islam. And the only way out, if STAB fails, the only way out of that future is a war, a guns and bullets war against the Muslims. I do not want to see that. So STAB, if you haven't already, join up with STAB. If STAB fails, the nation fails. Just like if the natural family doesn't eventually get put back together and put up where it belongs, the nation fails. Just like if we don't stop abortion, eventually the nation fails. But the most immediate of all of those is the takeover of our way of life by the influx of Muslims into our country. And I hope people understand and see that.
Folks, we're at a war on so many different fronts. And I'll never forget my friend Flip Benham told me that Islam, homosexuality, and abortion are three fingers of the same glove that the enemy is using to smack us with. And in my mind, they're all interconnected, and certainly every one of them need to be taken down individually. I want to show you part of what I think part of our problem is. Jared, go to our stuff. I want to show you two things today that I thought were kind of unique. Click on Jim Jordan. It says Jim Jordan there, Jared. Jim Jordan. I'm going to show you guys this. You know, President Trump was in town this weekend. He was in just north of Columbus, very, very Republican, very affluent district. They moved him. He was going to be outside, moved him inside, moved him into high school. And the most amazing thing, I want to give Richard Rapp credit for giving me this. This is just a 2-minute clip where Donald Trump is up on stage. And Jim Jordan, who is, as you know, I'm a big Jim Jordan fan. He's vying to be Secretary of State. Most of you know who he is. He's from Urbana, Ohio. And Donald Trump sees Jim Jordan standing over there. And he brings Jim Jordan up on the stage. This clip's only 2 minutes. I want you to watch this. To me, it's unbelievable how we have to unite together. But here's the amazing thing. From what I understand, Jim Jordan had never met Donald Trump. I want you to let that sink in. Jim Jordan had never met Donald Trump. Donald Trump's been in Washington, D.C. how long? And how many meetings has he had with all these congressmen and all of these panels and all these committees and all this? And he had never met who many think will be the next Speaker of the House. Does that tell you something about the swamp? That when people are invited to the White House, Jim Jordan isn't invited? All this stuff that's going on with Hillary, all these investigations, Jim Jordan not invited. So what you're going to see, I think it's, I got goosebumps when I saw it last night, because I watch people, and I want you to watch the reaction of both Donald Trump and Jim Jordan. And here's what I want you to understand. Number one, the humility of Jim Jordan. You can see he's almost embarrassed. He's almost embarrassed to be up there. You know what I like about the guy? He's a little guy. He was a wrestler. He wrestled like 145 pounds or something like that. He was a national champion. He was a great, great wrestler at Ohio State University. And he did a lot of wrestling coaching. Anybody been around wrestlers, you know what those guys are like, right? They're tough and tenacious. And he's the one, if you remember, I showed you last week, they tried to say that wrestling. He, as a wrestling coach, he let other guys get dingled. And we, of course, that's kind of gone into. And then I want you to watch Trump, because I want you to watch there's parts of Donald Trump that are so genuine. So, Jared, go ahead. This is only a 2-minute clip. This is a spontaneous 2-minute clip that President Trump sees Jim Jordan standing over. Think about this. Jim Jordan, Donald Trump comes to his home district, well, neighboring district, and nobody had done any arrangements to make sure Jim Jordan was there. Jim Jordan's probably as popular as any political candidate in Ohio, probably, with the right. And they didn't invite him? They didn't invite him to be up on stage? It's unbelievable. So watch this 2-minute clip and let this thing encourage your heart, because it did mine.
Vacationing on the Tallahassee Trail, but he was actually in Argentina. I don't know. Jim, do they have a Tallahassee Trail in Argentina? I don't think, right? No? No, right? Jim Jordan, how great is he? How great is he? How great is he? Hey, come here, Jim. Come here.
President's a little taller than me. Thank you. Think about this. In 18 months, regulations reduced, taxes lowered, Gorsuch on the court, the economy growing at a record rate, unemployment at its lowest in 20 years, Kavanaugh's on deck on the court, we're out of that crazy Iran deal, the embassy is going to Jerusalem, and the hostages have been returned from North Korea. That's what's happened under the president's leadership. Thank you very much.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that those two guys have never met? That speaks volumes to me about what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Hey, Coach, you see how fast he picked up on all that? I mean, that's incredible.
Is that incredible? I mean, it looked like he'd been planning that speech for months, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. And they haven't
said. That's even after Trump made a faux pas because he confused Mark Sanford with Jim Jordan. You know, Jordan has been around that Ohio State wrestling diddling controversy, but it was Mark Sanford that said he was hiking the Appalachian Trail when he was with his mistress down in Argentina.
Larry, I think he clarified. I'm not arguing with you. I think at the beginning of the clip, Trump never mentioned Mark Sanford. So I think if you listen, you extrapolate what he was saying. Jared, another one I want to show you. I love this kind of stuff. By the way, I got something good to share with you. Hang in there with me, all right? Hang in there with me. Pull up Candace Owens. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This just shows you the craziness of the world that we're living in. Now, I don't know if you guys know that the New York Times editorial board just hired this woman who absolutely, the things that she has said, it's been racist. Sarah Zhang is just the amazing things that they found out she said in the past on her Twitter. So Candace Owens, the conservative black girl, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? I think what words you're allowed to use. What word am I supposed to say here? What am I supposed to call her? What word can I? That's how our brains work, right? Candace Owens. Scroll down here, Jared, and look what Candace Owens tweets out and gets suspended immediately from Twitter. All right. Now, here's the girl who wrote it. So Sarah Zhang, she's now on the editorial board of the New York Times. OK, this girl, look at that. She got some wisdom. She really, really got some wisdom. You can see that in her eyes.
Went to Harvard. Anti-white racist.
Anti-right racist. Hates men. I mean, stuff. If you guys haven't seen this, amazing. But watch what Candace Owens does here. So the New York Times, blah, 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 scrolling down, Jared. So keep on going. Cancel white people. That was some of her stuff. Look at that. Here's some stuff she posted. Dumbass effing white people marking up the internet with the opinion like dogs pissing on fire hydrants. Are white people genetically disposed to burn faster in the sun? oh man, it's kind of sick how much I enjoy getting out of being cruel to old white men. I dare you to go on Wikipedia and play things white people can definitely take credit for. It's hard, and a bunch of other stuff like that. So watch what Candace Owens did. It was genius. So Candace Owens goes on there and she simply substitutes different names for white people. And in 12 hours, she's suspended on Twitter, right? Keep on going down there, Jared. I think it comes up. Here's what she says. She's been banned on Twitter, yada, yada, yada. She talks about true racism. Sorry, guys, this takes so long. I thought it was right there. Maybe it's in the video. I don't know. I had it on the clip on that one, Jared. See what happens. Because okay. So anyway, she was every time she says, you know, white people, or every time she says white people, she put Jews in there, and I put the wrong file up there, maybe someplace. Where is it? Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on it. Check it out. It's great. The algorithms, whatever it was, how they picked up on Jew and they picked up on Asian, but they missed the rest of that. Sorry, I didn't have that. I thought I had that stuff right up before you. Yeah, I apologize. Just talking about something and not having it there. Okay, next thing. Anybody want to jump in here real quick? Not making it, just asking you.
Well, you see just how stupid this whole thing is, right? I mean, how does Sarah Jeong get away with all the crazy racist crap that she's saying?
Why is it okay?
Right.
Why is it okay for her to say that? Now, folks, don't miss this. Candace Owens is a black woman, and when she posted on Twitter, evidently the Twitter people just saw the comments and pulled it down. And it was the exact same statement that the other girl had made, only she referred white people. So it's okay to do it to white people. Point I'm trying to make. Jared, thanks for looking for that. I'll get bogged down there and move on. Okay, I want to show you something else. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians 5, I think it is, Jared. Ephesians 5. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk about something here in a minute that's going to offend some of you. In fact, it may offend some of you everyday loyal, like loyal, old loyal dogs that are in here every day. But I just, the Lord helped me to see this weekend, so I really feel that I need to say something about it, okay? I'm in Ephesians 5, and that's where it's going to lead. You guys are big boys. You can take it, can't you? I believe you can. It's Ephesians 6, Jared. I knew it was. I'm sorry. Where is it? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I thought it was Ephesians 5. I was right. Ephesians 5. So, Jared, let's go to Ephesians 5, and let's just begin in Ephesians. Let's just start the beginning, okay? And then I'm going to try to take you somewhere. Okay, here we go. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, how many times do we know that the Bible talks about childlike faith, being as little children, suffer not the little children to come unto me? That in the eyes of God, we ought to all understand we are children, really. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Hey, Jared, let's go to old buddy Webster. Let's go there. Let's go to fornication. Fornicate, that's okay. Fornication, fornicate. It's the incontinence or lewdness. Wow, think about that. It's the lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also, the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Matthew calls it adultery. Corinthians calls it incest. And Webster says idolatry, a forsaking of the true God and worshiping of idols. The incontinence. Jared, what's incontinence? What is incontinence? The want of restraint of the passions or appetite. Free or uncontrolled indulgence of the passions or appetite, such as anger. Want of restraint of the sexual appetite. Free or illegal indulgences of lust, lewdness, used of either sex, but appropriately of the male sex. Incontinence in men is the same as unchastity in women. Wow. Among physicians, the inability of any of the animal organs to restrain discharges of their contents so that the discharges are involuntary. Wow. Okay. So, Jared, let's go back to Ephesians 5. Stay right there. Keep Mr. Webster up there for us as well. What's uncleanness, Jared? The fornication and all uncleanness. What did Mr. Webb say about that? Uncleanness is foulness, dirtiness, filthiness, want of ritual or ceremonial purity, moral purity. Folks, moral purity. Defilement by sin or sinfulness. You are unclean if you're morally impure. Now, I think this is talking about physical morality. It could be emotional. It could be, it could be working in the business world as well. Morality. Jared, there's a great word. Wait a minute. Hang on. Lewdness or incontinence. Jared, what's moral? What's morality, according to Mr. Webster? Well, Mr. Webster says that morality is the doctrine or system of moral duties and the duties of men in their social character or ethic, the practice of the moral duty, virtue. We often admire the politeness of men whose morality we question. Trump, there you go. The quality of an action which renders it good. The conformity of an act to the divine law or to the principles of restitution. This conformity implies that the act must be performed by a free agent and from a motive of obedience to a divine will. This is a strict theological and scriptural sense of morality. In other words, you by choice line yourself up with the will of God. That's what it says here under in Webster. But we often apply the word to actions which accord with justice and human laws without reference to the motives from which they proceed. Okay? What is that we're looking there, Jared? What did we just look up? Morality. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians. The fornication, we already saw what that was, right? Basically sexual sin of the man. And all uncleanness, it's the same thing, really. Or covetousness. So, Jared, I sense maybe covetousness is a little bit deeper than what we think. Look, let's look that one up. See, to covet means want what somebody else has, I think. But I bet it's deeper than that. Covetousness is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good. Wow, huh? It's not wanting somebody else's stuff. It's a strong desire to possess something good. Usually in the back.
Coach?
Yes.
I figured this out yesterday. I was able to say it out loud. Let me see if I can do it again. We have already received the reward, so our actions need to display that. In other words, what I'm saying is that we received the gift from God, and our actions need to reflect that.
Amen. Amen. And what is covetousness? According to what I'm reading here, Vinny, covetousness is a strong, inordinate desire to obtain something that is supposed to be good. All right. So that's all. Not covet means Don't try to take that which is good and turn it into bad. Don't try to, don't desire to possess or be in control of or own something that is good and use it for evil. See, when I thought thou shalt not covet, I thought that meant, well, I don't want, don't covet your neighbor's goods. Don't covet them. I understand that. But coveting is deeper than that. And by the way, I would say one of the deepest sins that we deal with, all of us Americans, one of the deepest sins we deal with is covetousness. If you can get victory over covetousness, over not desiring to take something good that doesn't belong, that's a great victory. Back to Ephesians, Jared. I don't know about you guys. I'm getting coached here pretty good as I'm reading this. So back to Ephesians. Let fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. I don't want to hear about it. It shouldn't even be mentioned among you. That says. And then he goes into another level. He says neither foolishness nor neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. I think it may, and you know, don't waste your time in dirty talking and stupid stuff like that. But rather, take that time and give thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, wow, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Once saved, always saved, huh, David? Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Because of what things? The things we just read. What happens? The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Watch this. The dudes, verse 7. Don't get in the mud and roll around with them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Not only don't you get in the mud and roll around with them, Lord. Don't even do that. But you were sometimes like that. You used to act like that. But now you don't act like that anymore. Because you walk in the light of the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Get ready. I'm about ready to smack you only because I love you and because I got smacked all weekend dealing with this, okay? Stay with me. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And that proves what is acceptable unto the Lord. Watch. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, or rather reprove them. Well, this is bubbling up inside me, boys. For it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, Jared, what's it mean to reprove? What does Mr. Webster say about reprove? But all things that are reproved, to blame or to censure, to charge with a fault to the face, to chide, to reprehend, to blame for, that's to reprove, to go to somebody and blame them, to charge them with a fault to their face, to convince them of a fault or to make it manifest, to reprove, refute, to disapprove, to excite a sense of guilt. Oh, Lord, help us do more of that. To excite a sense of guilt. The heart or conscience reproves us, to manifest silent disapprobation or blame. The vicious cannot hear the presence of good, whose very looks reprove them, and whose life is a severe, though silent, admonition. Okay. Am I done there in Ephesians 5? Because here comes the toe step and the shin kick. We went to the homo parade in Mansfield, Ohio. Handful of us. We had about 10 of us there. It was a very, very, very small parade. Very small. They didn't have probably 100 marching. But again, same thing we always see. Young people, kids, rainbow flags. And, you know, we did the best we could to minister and preach and we did the best we could. We were there for about an hour. There was a festival that went on after, and Greg Jay and some others, they hung around a little bit longer than that. But, you know, through the ministering, there was a guy there with a backward collar on. He was, of course, across the street yelling at us how God's love and Jesus is just love, and we embrace him. And we love all you, we love all you fags, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I'm sorry, Facebook. I can't say that. And this came to my mind, this phrase, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Can you pull that back up there, Jared? I'm sorry. I want to make a point here. Let's start about verse 7. Let me read down this again. 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkened, but now are ye the light. So therefore walk as children in the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and purity, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay. Here's what I couldn't get away from all weekend. I hope we remain friends after. Michelle and I went to a wedding this weekend, as I think I told you. And I was amazed. I gotta be careful how I say this. I was amazed at the number. I'm at the Gay Pride Parade, and we're out there, you can have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, and rather expose them. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, go there real quick, Jared. 2 Timothy 4, what did Paul say? I know what he said, but I want you guys to see it. Because I'm out there, and I'm doing this, man. I'm being faithful. 2 Timothy 4. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. It is appearing and is the kingdom. Preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch you in all things. You better watch yourself, baby. Endure afflictions and do the work of a ministry and make full proof of, do the work of an evangelist and make full worth of your ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept my faith. And I said, oh my goodness, Lord. And there I am out on the streets of Mansfield, Ohio. David and Greg and Vanessa, Mike. We're giving them the truth. We're giving them the gospel. That's the sin. That's the sin. And then I go to this wedding, and everywhere I look, people are jacking up, unmarried. Everywhere I look. And from my perspective, shacking up is fornication. Fornication. And the Bible tells us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I said to Michelle on the way home from the wedding the other night, I would think this was an environment. I'm just guessing now. This is an environment where most people, most of them, were probably churchgoers. They asked me to do the invocation. I did the invocation. People were respectful. They said amen. They would agree with it, right? And yet, I wonder how many in that room are currently living together. And I was so convicted of my own hypocrisy that I went to that pride parade and pointed out the sin of homosexuality and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them and preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Romans 1:28 say, those who not only do the same, but have pleasure in those who do it. And I'm thinking, what has happened to the church world where we no longer, we are so comfortable with fornication. And I wonder what's happened to, on two calls. Stay with me. Folks, this is so deep. This is deeper than you understand. What has happened to the American society where a man, this could just have easily been me, although our daughters didn't live with their boyfriends. Happens all the time. What has happened to our society where a young man is openly living with and fornicating with another man's daughter, and the man never says anything about it? What happened when the first time that the word that it came up in the family, hey mom, Bill and I are thinking about moving in together, or you find out she moved in with Bill? What happened to the dad? That he didn't go over there and knock on that door and say to that young guy, you listen to me. That precious little girl is the most valuable thing I own. And what is wrong with you that you think that you can come and take this most valuable little thing I have and drag her into the pig pen with you? And I'm here to tell you this, pal. If you do this, you will never be welcome in my house again. And then to pull your precious little daughter aside and say, let's get something straight here, sweetheart. Your mother and I are not going to take the kick in the face that you are about to give us. That after we have tried to raise you and provide for you and be a great parent to you, that you are now going to turn and spit in our face by openly living in fornication with this man. How dare you disrespect your mother and I that way? And I'm going to tell you this, sweetheart, I love you. But as long as you're doing that, don't you dare darken the door at our house.
Love it.
Huh? Yes or no, fellas? Yes or no? What's the message we're hearing in the church? Oh, well, just love them. Just love them. Love them! I spent 19 years training them on how to live. And when a guy shacks up with my daughter, he is spitting in my face. Spitting in my wife's face. The most valuable thing I have. And coveting it.
Amen.
Somebody help me here.
Dave, can I piggyback? I want to piggyback. I don't want to lessen what you said, but I was at a family gathering this weekend, and I struggled with the same thing. A lesbian couple in the family unit, probably about 30 people there. Almost all of them are churchgoers. And one of the women is pregnant with another. They've had one already. And I'm thinking, am I endorsing by being here? Am I supporting a lifestyle that I know is opposed to what God would want, that leads them to the gates of hell? And I struggled because I felt like I needed to say something, but I didn't. And I'm amongst a bunch of old-time church people, and it just bothered me because I think I should have said something.
Roger, we think nothing of fornication anymore. How about this? How about I go to the wedding and people come up and they're introducing their kids to me? What if one of them came up to me and says, hey, coach, I'd like you to be my daughter Gloria here. She's a whore. She sleeps around with men. And here's the guy she's currently sleeping around with, coach. Would you like to meet him? Because that, yes or no, is that it or not? Huh? We talk about the natural family. In the church doesn't even care. The church doesn't even care that their daughters are sleeping around with men. And the guy who is sleeping around with my daughter has the audacity to come to my house and eat turkey dinner with me?
Hey, coach, can I chime in on this?
Please do. It's open forum here, boys.
Well, coach,
You know, this is a very, very serious situation. You know, I've had this conversation where, well, other people are doing it in the church, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And I said, yeah, but they don't live at my house. Uh-huh. That's important. But that word fornication is the Greek word in the New Testament, porneia, where we get pornography from. But when you do the search of the Old Testament, fornication is identified with Sodom and Gomorrah. So another example, when we see the church engaging in this situation and in approving of this, we are living just like those days in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Where we're living in this. And, you know, when we look at fornication, once again, it's sex outside of the marriage. It is the lust of the eyes. When you were talking about Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 6:11 talks about identifying homosexual, adulterers, liars, fornicators, effeminate, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says, and such were some of you. Brother, this is what I preached on this week. It's not about just about were such some of you, but the question is, are some of you still those things? Because if you are, you're not in the kingdom of God.
Amen, Dale. And listen, folks, this is a great failure, not of the kids. I mean, it is, but this is a great failure of dad not standing up and saying something about it. Dad not drawing the line. I look at my precious little grandchildren, my granddaughter Reese is about to be 8 years old. I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine 10 years from now, Reese comes home from college for Thanksgiving dinner, and daddy, here's my roommate, and it's a man. Oh, we get up in arms if it's a homo, don't we? We get up in arms over that. But we don't get up in arms. Hey, we wouldn't let a homo sing in a choir. I hope, although we probably are. But you ain't got no problem letting those who shack up fornicators say, well, they love each other. Well, then get married. What do you mean you love each other? Get married.
They don't love each other. They lust each other.
They lust each other. And daddy, hey, daddy, wake up. You wake up. Because I can imagine, daddy, how you'd be acting if that guy came over and borrowed your car and went out and drank beer and peed all over the car while he had your car and brought that car back. But he's doing that to your daughter and you don't care. Okay.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
You know, and that behavior leads to so many more. It's like opening Pandora's box. It just leads to so many debaucherous things.
Hang on just a second, George. It ruins our witness. It is not ruin our witness, meaning my children are doomed. It ruins our witness, and that I'm speaking out against that, but I'm not speaking out against that.
Well, hey, coach, here's some key words.
Dale, hang on a second. Let George finish. I interrupted him. I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead, George.
No, that's basically what I was going to say. It just, though, you know, and although both are at fault, the women usually comes out on the shorter end. You know, the old saying, there's guys that say, hey, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? I mean, is there any worse way you could look at a woman than to think like that?
Well, you know what,
and to think of all the things it leads to.
We have not built honor in our daughters. If we built honor in our daughters, they would never do that. Go ahead, Dale.
And then parents, this is for dads, this is for moms. You know, our kids will come at us and they say these words, you're just trying to control me. You're just trying to control me. And I said, do not mix up controlling with caring. I said, because you saying that is that you're trying to control me and the rules of my house. God has rules, and that's the rules in which we live by. You call it controlling. I say, no, it's my caring for you. And the Lord warns them, don't do this, don't do these things, lest these things come upon you. That's called caring.
See, I think some girls, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, please. Well, you can get mad if you want. I don't care. Girls, I believe this in my heart, that a girl would never do that. had she been properly honored in her home by her daddy. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. And it starts at a very, very young age when we don't teach our daughters in particular how honorable they are and how important they are to us. Can I tell you a story? I think I've told this before, but I wasn't a perfect parent, and I'm not the perfect parent. And we all think we know what's going on, and then we can all point it, you know. So he is without sin, let him throw the first boulder. It'd be me. But I remember when Abby was, our oldest daughter, Abby, was in the eighth grade. She wanted to go to the eighth grade dance or something like that. She asked me if she could go. I said, well, who are you going to go with? And she told me, and I says, well, Abby, he can't go. You can't go to the dance with him until he comes and asks me. She said, what? I said, yeah, I wouldn't let him borrow my car without asking me. And you're so much more valuable to me than my car. And I'll be daggone, honey, if I'm going to let you go to that dance. And he didn't even come over and ask permission. 15 minutes later, the kid's at the door knocking on the door, asking me if he could take my daughter to the eighth grade dance. And I'll never forget the look in Abby's eyes when that conversation that she and I had was over, and it was one of honoring herself. She honored herself. Now, I don't know how she lived her life. I don't know how she lived her life. I don't know how college, what happened. But I know this. She thought enough of herself that she never moved in and lived with a guy. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes because I know there are many in the queue. We say to our buddies who have homosexual children, oh, you're so brave. You don't let him come over? Oh, you're so brave. Wow, way to take a stand, brother. Way good. And then some dude's fornicating with your daughter and you invite him to Thanksgiving dinner. What's that all about?
Hey, Dave.
Somebody dig me out of this hole. Come on, Chad.
Okay, Dave, I was just going to say that perhaps it's not being enforced, I guess you could say. It's because the men did it themselves. Okay, so they say, well, it seems a little hypocritical. Well, okay, it might be, but like, look, you know the error of your ways. And so what I tell my daughter is, you know, if you're doing the fornicating, I said, if you're doing that before you get married, how do you expect God to bless your relationship if you're living in sin, if you have sin? And then you wonder why things don't work out. Because you're not giving it a chance to be, you know, honored by the Lord.
Amen, Chad. Also, how about this one? How about you say to your daughter this? Maybe you're a little smarter than me. What if you say to your daughter just this? I want you to know, if you're living with that guy, you're an adult. You're 22 years old, honey. You can do what you want. But I want you to know this. Every time you bring him over to this house, I want you to know, and you're welcome. You can come over. Your mom wants you to come for dinner, and we love you, so we love you. But I want you to know this, sweetheart. Every time you come over here, I want you to know you're both spitting in my face and in my wife's face, and we don't appreciate it. Now, if you can live like that, if you can go let's shack up with that guy and then come over here and spit in my face and spit in mommy's face, more power to you. Go for it. But I don't want you to ever think that I'm okay with it. Is that too harsh, fellas? Is that too harsh, moms? Any women out there? We're hypocrites! No wonder I respect our faith.
We're already spitting in Jesus' face when we do that. Our sins are first against the holy God. And so
we just read
that things read. Are not,
hey,
but
hey, guys, can I tell you something? Let me say this in a nice sort of way. Those of you who are out there who are married in the marriage bed, there's no shame in darkness, in the darkness in your marriage bed. There's none. What does it say here in Ephesians 5? Where was it, Jared? For you were some now, blah, blah, blah. For it is at verse 12, For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, when a husband and a wife are in the marriage bed, it's not secret, it's private. It's private. Nothing wrong with private. But when a man and a woman are not married, they have to do it in secret. Except they reach the point where they're going to be open with their secret, and they're going to do it right in front of you and shove it in your face. And as Dale just said, Lord said, Paul said, don't be doing that. In fact, don't have any fellowship with those unfruitful works. And fornication is unfruitful works of darkness. Just the same as homosexism. You say, oh, well, that's not the same. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, it's different. It's an unfruitful works of darkness that's done in darkness. Oh, I've made some enemies. I only got 4 minutes left. Somebody help me wrap it up. Hey, guys, listen, it's the hypocrisy. We got to, no wonder our kids are not respecting our faith. We don't even really believe it. We don't even really believe it. If we really believed it, if we really want to change America, then we're going to have to begin to once again publicly and boldly stand up for those values we claim that we hold. Parents get defensive. Some of you are defensive right now. Come on in here.
Coach, we can say that if abortion stopped tomorrow in America, if homosexuality stopped in America, if Islam practice stopped in America, America would still be under the judgment of God, because God is not being able to be taken its rightful place in America. And so if God is not first and foremost, he who establishes a nation, and if we don't have that in his heart, it doesn't matter how good we are, we will be brought down as a nation.
Amen. Well, we're being brought down as individuals. Somebody else, come on in here.
Coach, I think one of the issues today in the younger generation, and even in my generation, and I'm older, is that they don't have the fear of God because they don't see the power of God. It's lost from the church. Jesus said, everything that I do, you should do and more. But we don't see that. We don't see healing. We don't see people raised from the dead. We don't see any of the miracles that Jesus did. Where's the power? It's supposed to be in the church.
And Karen, our children see that if they decide to shack up with their boyfriend, we don't even care. Why would there be any power? There is no evidence that we really believe in action what this scripture says. No evidence. So there's no power. There's no power.
We don't even have any fear of the Lord like we should.
No, because why? It was my obligation to train that girl, that daughter, in the fear and the admonition. It was my job to us to raise her until I went at some point and handed her hand to another man. By the way, not loaned her hand. Like you would your wrench. Oh, here, you want to use my daughter here for a couple years? Have at it.
But no one even teaches us that this is what we're supposed to be doing. People, the pastors, not all of them, but many of them, they don't even teach the word anymore. They don't help put the fear of God into their parishioners.
Not only that, Karen. They don't teach us that if it's wrong, we should turn from it. And our children teach our children to turn from it. I'm okay. You're okay. Jesus loves everybody. Who are you to judge? Once saved, always saved. Right, David? What a mess. What a mess. So here's my message today. I'm running out of time. Boys, we gotta tighten the ship. We got to tighten the show. I'm not talking about legalism and pounding people over the head with rules and regulations. That's not what I'm talking. That's something my wife said. I noticed it, and then she said it about the wedding. She said, "Honey, I can't believe all the flesh at the wedding." And she meant dress, the way people were dressing. What is going on with us? No modesty. None. Not in the men, David. They got on the tight jeans. They got the their bulges bulging. The girls got stuff hanging down over them. The chest's all exposed. Just it's covered. It's covered, but it's all. Lord help us, Lord. Well, I'm sounding like an old fogey today, right?
Dave, my rule of thumb that I teach my kids is the more you show, the less you have to offer.
Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says it right here. Have nothing to do with it. It's a shame to even speak of those things that your children are doing in darkness. It's a shame to even speak of it. And for most of us, we don't even want to raise our voices against it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I learned something this weekend. Hypocrisy. Destroying the church. God bless you. See you tomorrow.